Baca
Madupa
Madupa
Kitaba
Kitaba
Bando
Bando
Ma
Vishangrim
Vishangrim Sapatnya
Sapatnya
Kucha
Kucha
Vilulita
Vilulita
Mala
Mala
Kunkuma
Kunkuma
Shmashubir
Shmashubir
Na
Na
Bahatu
Bahatu
Madhupatis
Madhupatis
Tanmaninam
Tanmaninam
Prasadam
Prasadam
Yadu Sadasi
Yadu Sadasi
Vidambyam
Vidambyam
Yasya
Yasya
Dutas
Dutas
Twam
Twam
Idrik
Idrik
Gopyuvacha
Gopyuvacha
Madhupakita Vabando Masprishangrim Sapnyanya
Madhupakita Vabando Masprishangrim Sapnyanya.
I'll just say these words. Kucha Vilulita Mala Kunkumas. It's longer than that. Okay, we'll just read it. Madhu Pakitava Bando Mas Prishangrim Sapatnya
Madhu Pakitava Bando Mas Prishangrim Sapatnya
Kucha Vilulita Mala Kunkuma Smashubirna
Kucha Vilulita Mala Kunkuma Smashubirna
Bahatu madhu patistan mahini nam prasadam.
Bahatu madhu patistan mahini nam prasadam.
Yadu sadasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam nidrik.
Yadu sadasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam nidrik.
Madhu bhakitava bando mas prishangrim sapatnya. Kucha vilulita mala kunkuma smashubirna
Kucha vilulita mala kunkuma smashubirna
Vahatu madhupatistan mahininam prasadam
Vahatu madhupatistan mahininam prasadam
Yadu sadasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam midurik
Yadu sadasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam idrik
Madhu pakitava bando mas prishangrim sapatnya
Madhu pakitava bando mas prishangrim sapatnya
Kucha vilulita mala kunkuma smashubirna
Kucha vilulita mala kunkuma smashubirna
Vahatu matu patistan mahininam prasadam
Vahatu matu patistan mahininam prasadam
Yadu sadasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam idrik
Yadu sadasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam idrik
Gopyuvacha
Gopyuvacha
Madhupakitava bandhumas prishangrim sapatnya
Madhupakitava bandhumas prishangrim sapatnya
Kucha vilulita mala kunkumas smashubirna
Kucha vilulita mala kunkumas smashubirna
Vahatu madhupatistan mananinam prasadam
Vahatu madhupatistan mananinam prasadam
Yadu sarasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam idrik
Yadu sarasi vidambyam yasya dutas twam idrik
What did you say?
Madhupakitava
Madhupakitava Gopi uvacha.
Gopi uvacha.
The Gopi said.
Madhupa.
Madhupa. Or bumblebee.
Oh, bumblebee.
Kitava.
Kitava.
Of a cheetah.
Of a cheetah.
Abando.
Abando.
Or friend.
Maasprisha.
Maasprisha. Please do not touch.
Please do not touch.
Angrim.
Angrim.
The feet.
Feet.
Sapatnya.
Sapatnya.
Of the lover who is our rival.
Of the lover who is our rival.
Kucha.
Kucha.
The breast.
The breast.
Bilulita.
Bilulita.
Fallen from.
Fallen from.
Mala.
Mala.
From the garland.
Garland.
Kunkuma.
Kunkuma.
With the red cosmetic.
With the red cosmetic.
Shmashubi.
Shmashubi.
With the whiskers.
With the whiskers.
Na.
Na.
Ow.
Ow.
Vahatu.
Vahatu.
Let him bring.
Let him bring.
Madhupati.
Madhupati.
The Lord of the Madhu Dynasty.
The Lord of the Madhu Dynasty.
Tat.
Tat.
His.
His.
Manininam.
Manininam.
To the women.
To the women.
Prasadam.
Prasadam.
Mercy or kindness.
Mercy
or kindness. Yadu Sadasi.
Yadu Sadasi.
The Royal Assembly of the Yadus.
Royal Assembly of the Yadus.
Vidambiam.
Vidambiam.
An object of ridicule or contempt.
An object of ridicule or contempt.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Whose. Duta.
Duta.
Messenger.
Messenger.
Twam.
Twam.
You. Idrik.
Such.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. The gopi said, O honeybee, my friend of a cheetah, don't touch my feet with your whiskers, which are smeared with the kunkum that rubbed onto Krishna's garland when it was crushed by the breasts of a rival lover. Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura. One who sends a messenger like you will certainly be ridiculed in the Yadu's assembly. Translation responsibly. The gopi said,
O
honeybee,
honeybee,
O friend of a cheetah,
don't touch my feet
with your whiskers,
which are smeared with the kunkum
that rubbed onto Krishna's garland.
When it was crushed
by the breasts of a rival lover.
By the breasts of a rival lover.
Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura.
Let Krishna satisfy the women of Mathura.
One who sends a messenger like you.
One who sends a messenger like you.
Will certainly be ridiculed.
Will certainly be ridiculed.
In the Yadu's assembly.
In the Yadu's assembly.
Purport. Srimati Radharani indirectly chastised Krishna by chastising the bumblebee which he took for his messenger. She addressed the bumblebee as Madhupa, one who drinks the nectar of flowers. And she addressed Krishna as Madhupati, the Lord of Madhu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that this and the following nine verses exemplify 10 kinds of impulsive speech spoken by a lover. This verse illustrates the qualities of Prajalpa, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the following verse from Ujjwala Nilamani, 14.182. Asuyersha Madayuja Yovadirana Mudraya Priyasya Ko Shalod Gara Prajalpa Satu Tirtiyate. Prajalpa is speech that denigrates the tactlessness of one's lover with expressions of disrespect. It is spoken in a mood of envy, jealousy and pride. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that the word Kitava Bandho expresses envy. The phrase from Sapatnya to Naha, jealousy. The phrase Maspurisha Angrim, pride. And the phrase from Vahatu to Prasadam, disrespect. While the phrase from Yadu Sadasi to the end of the verse describes Krishna's tactless treatment of Radharani. Amigyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Mulitanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Vedantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is one of the most intimate parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because this part of the Bhagavatam is describing the mood of Srimati Radharani in relationship with her love for Krishna. So in this verse it says Gopi Uvacha, right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that the particular Gopi who is speaking here is Srimati Radharani herself. And what Srimati Radharani is expressing in this section of the Bhagavatam is what is called Mahabhava. She is the personification of Mahabhava. So it means that there are different levels of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Right? We begin with Shraddha. Right? We have faith. From Shraddha, then we begin to associate with devotees, Sadhu Sangha. And then we get engaged by the devotees in devotional service, that is Bhajana Kriya. And by performing Bhajana Kriya, then we remove our anattas, that is anatta nivritti. And then become steady eventually, free from anattas, that is called nishtha. Then we develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, a very deep taste, that is called ruchi. And then we develop asakti, which means firm attachment to Krishna. And at the point of asakti, one begins to realize one's swarup, or one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Then one develops bhava. Bhava means like feelings or emotions towards Krishna. And that bhava, or those emotions towards Krishna, are based on one's constitutional position with Krishna. And then that fructifies into the perfection of devotional service, which is love of Godhead, which is called prema, and that is the perfection of devotional service. But then when you get to prema, there are different levels within prema. Now, it's not that everything is exactly the same even with prema. Within prema there is I can't remember all the sections, but there is bhav, anurag, anurag, man, and then might be the second bhav. Then there is mahabhav. Mahabhava is the highest level of love for Krishna. And Mahabhava is only experienced by Srimati Radharani, some of her associates, right, and some of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, like that, who have contact with the conjugal Rasa also. So it is not that everyone experiences this Mahabhava, and out of everyone who experiences the Mahabhava, even within Mahabhava there are divisions. Even within Mahabhava there are gradations of excellence, and Srimati Radharani is the most excellent in terms of those who experience Mahabhava, or love for Krishna. So the Mahabhava Radharani is divine madness. She becomes mad on the spiritual platform. Right? Madness is not desirable on the material platform. Right? No one wants to be a crazy person. It's not desirable to be a crazy person. Actually, Prabhupada says that craziness is self-indulgence. Yeah? Basically, people act crazy. You know, they do crazy things, they act crazy, and you know, they speak like, because they want to attract attention to themselves. Or maybe they feel they don't have enough affection or love from other people. They feel abandoned, so they act crazy to try to get affection. That's what they're actually yearning for. So this is not desirable. We don't want to be crazy. But in our sadhana, in our chanting of Hare Krishna, the whole purpose of us chanting Hare Krishna is to become crazy, or to become mad, or to become divinely intoxicated. But the madness which we want is not mundane madness, it is spiritual madness, right? It is the type of madness that one is mad after Krishna or crazy after Krishna. Just like I was listening to the news the other day, and there's one man in, I think it's Italy. No, where's Milan? Milan's in Spain. Milan's in Italy. Yeah, it's in Italy. It's the capital.
Fashion capital.
Fashion capital of Italy, yeah. If you want to buy some nice dresses, go to Milan. It's a good place. So Milan is in Italy. And there's one man there, and he was in the, I think, Catholic monastery. And he was there until he was about 41, and then he got sick. So he had to leave the monastery. They couldn't maintain him within the monastery anymore. So he left the monastery, and he decided for the rest of his life he would build a cathedral single-handedly for God, for Christ, like that. And now he's 81, and he's almost finished. And he's built a cathedral. Like, apparently, they're describing it on the radio. It's like a cathedral. It's like if you go down to the city, you know, there's a cathedral on the corner of Flinders and Swanston Street. I mean, that's a big, you know, building. And the way they were describing it, it was something maybe not quite that big. That's a big one. But something similar to that. And this man has just spent the last 40 years of his life building this cathedral, right? From by himself. He's got a few labourers who help him. Yeah, but basically, he's built the whole thing by himself. And most of the cathedral which he's built in Italy is made from materials which he's had donated to him. You know, he'll just go to the brick factory and just say, are there any bricks left over? And they say, okay, have some bricks and have some steel and have some wood. And he's built an entire cathedral. So then they interviewed him on the radio and they said, why have you done this? Why did you just spend 40 years of your life building this cathedral by yourself? And he said, because I am mad after Christ. He said, I am crazy for Christ. He said, I am mad after Christ. He said, I'm just, everything for me is just for Christ. Right? Nothing else. Right? And you could see in his voice, it was a very blissful voice. It wasn't like, you know, he had love for Christ. Like, he was intoxicated. He just dedicated like that, and he was blissful. And then they said to him, you know, he's getting old, he's only 81, it's not quite finished yet. And, you know, and then when it's finished, they may use it for a building, for a Vatican, for a cathedral. But then the problem is that he's not he's never had architectural design or plan, and he's not an engineer himself. So now there's problems with the city council, whether the building is actually safe or not. So they got an engineer to come in, the engineer says, actually, it is almost completely safe. We just have to do a few modifications and you can actually use the building. So everyone was saying to him, you know, like the press, they're always negative. I don't know why people are so negative in this world, but they are. So the press was saying to him, don't you feel dejected that you could have just spent 40 years of your life and in the end it might come to nothing? They might say, you know, it's not safe and just knock it down or something like that. He said, no, not at all. He said, I know that God will work this out for me. He said, I know that Christ will finish this. He said, he's not going to let me spend 40 years of my life dedicating everything to him. And then at the end there'll be nothing, no fruit for it. Like that. So he had complete faith. So this is love for God. That's what Radharani is showing him. Love for Krishna. Right? It is not an ordinary thing, right, to have this much attachment to Krishna. And Prabhupada says in his purports, he says, this is the goal of Krishna consciousness, to become mad for Krishna, right? Or to become divinely intoxicated, or divinely mad or crazy for Krishna. Prabhupada says within some of his purports, he says, one must learn the secret of Krishna consciousness is one must learn to cry for Krishna, right? To have that much feeling for Krishna, to have that much attachment to Krishna. Just like when I was in Vrindavan a few months ago, then the head pujari of the Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, he was giving Bhagavatam class in the morning, and he was describing when we do our puja, in the morning we may worship the deities, and he was saying that when we worship the deities, we must worship the deities with love. Right? It can't just be done mechanically. Of course, it can just be done mechanically. But it's not meant to be done mechanically. We're meant to worship Krishna with feeling, right? With attachment, like that. When we're doing the, and he actually said with tears in the eyes, this is what we should be doing. Just like when we chant Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya says within Shikshastika, when you chant Hare Krishna, there should be tears within the eyes. Right? Just like this morning, we're all chanting japa, and some of the devotees must have been a bit tired because the weather's a bit hot, and they ate too much last night at the feast, and you know, we had kirtan last night until 9 o'clock, and everyone's feeling like so. So you saw some of the devotees, they're kind of like, yeah, chanting their japa, right? That's not exactly what Lord Chaitanya is talking about, right? When you chant, he says you must have tears in the eyes. Your hairs will stand on end, right? And torrents of tears from your hairs will stand on end, and you'll feel shivering within the body, right? That is means that we have love for Krishna. So we have to invoke within our service this kind of feeling for Krishna, right? And it should not be superficial or artificial or superimposed like that, but it must come naturally. That one must begin to develop emotion for Krishna while one is doing one's service, and tears must come, feeling must come. Right? That is the goal of Krishna consciousness. So we're seeing in this part of the Bhagavatam that Srimati Radharani is on the highest level of Mahabhav. Right? She is completely intoxicated by Krishna. She's completely crazy for Krishna. And in Mahabhav, the attachment for Krishna becomes so powerful, so strong, the one becomes mad, right? Develops symptoms of madness or divine craziness or insanity. So Uddhava has come, and Uddhava is speaking to the gopis, and Uddhava is delivering his message to the gopis. And then the gopis, when they first see him, they see that he is connected to Krishna. He is Krishna's messenger. So they all become very enlivened. So they all come to Uddhava, and they all have smiles on their faces, and they feel very happy to receive him. And then they begin to speak to him, and he begins to speak to them. And then Srimati Radharani, out of all the gopis, she becomes disinterested. And she walks away, and kind of walks off in the distance. And all the other gopis, or many of the other gopis, are very interested. What is Krishna doing? How is he? Is he going to come back to Vrindavan? Radharani just walks away. Right? Because her intensity of her love for Krishna is very difficult to understand. And there's contradictions, apparent contradictions, within her love for Krishna. Just like within this purport, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has analysed the different emotions which Radharani is feeling towards Krishna. So, in this verse, just in this one verse, which is spoken by Radharani herself, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says there are, I think, four emotions which he is feeling. Envy, or maybe three emotions. Jealous. Four emotions, right? Radharani is feeling envy, jealousy, pride, and disrespect. Right. Now, normally when we have our sadhana, we don't encourage devotees to develop these kinds of moods. Right? You know, when we're giving class, we're saying, you know, when you chant your rounds, you should chant disrespectfully. Right? You should cultivate pride. Right? You should be envious. Right? And it's good if you're jealous. Right? That is also beneficial for your Krishna consciousness. Right? Please cultivate these things. Right? So when we study Bhagavad Gita, when we study the Bhagavatam, the Krishna conscious philosophy, on the path of sadhana, we are encouraged, or we're instructed to give up these qualities. Right? We have to become respectful to others. We have to become prideless. We have to become free from envy. Right? And we should not be jealous of others. Right? But in the practice of sadhana, we have to give up these things on the material platform. But actually, the goal of Krishna consciousness, right, is that eventually these emotions may come back, but these emotions will be pure and spiritual because they're in relationship to Krishna. Right? So Radharani is feeling towards Krishna, she's feeling these emotions. Now, one can say, well, this is not very Krishna conscious, or this is not very good. Because Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service is anyabhilashita shunya jnana kama dhyanavritam anukuyena krishnanushilanam bhaktiya uttama. Right? That is Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service. So what does the word anukul mean? Anukul means favorable. It means devotional service towards Krishna must be favorable. It means while you're doing your service, you must have a favorable attitude towards Krishna. If the attitude is unfavorable, it is not conducive for pure bhakti. You will not reach pure bhakti or pure devotional service if your attitude is unfavorable while you're doing the service. Even if the service is pleasing to Krishna. Right? This is pointed out by the acharyas. Pure devotional service must have both elements. It must please Krishna, and it must be done with a favorable attitude. Right? Just like you can say, well, I'm favorable towards Krishna. I love Krishna. So I'll go and rob a bank for Krishna. Right? I'm doing it for Krishna. Right? And this could be done. Right? It probably has been done. Right? That people, they feel favorable towards Krishna. Right? They love Krishna. They like Krishna. They have affection for Krishna. But the activity they do to please him is not pleasing to him. Right? Their intent is favorable, but the activity is not pleasing. Therefore, that is not pure devotional service. And similarly, you may be doing a pleasing activity, just like you may be cleaning the temple room floor. That's pleasing to Krishna. But if your attitude is not favorable, in other words, if you're thinking, you know, Krishna, you know, you've been standing there all morning with the flute, you know, you haven't done much around here today, you know, why don't you come down into the temple and why don't you do some cleaning? Right? It's all right for all of us to work hard all the time, but you know, you just stand there all day practically. Right? You're just the enjoyer. We're just serving. Right? That's not a favorable attitude towards Krishna. Right? The attitude should not be unfavorable. In other words, it should not be begrudging. Right? The devotee should feel, I want to serve Krishna. Right? I have to serve Krishna. Right? I love to serve Krishna. I want to serve. It should be the intense desire of the devotee to serve Krishna. So it must be pleasing and favorable in order for it to be pure devotional service. So here, Srimati Radharani, when she displays these apparently negative qualities, actually they are pleasing to Krishna. They're not displeasing to Krishna. It's not that Srimati Radharani is displeasing Krishna by feeling envy, by feeling jealousy, by feeling pride, by feeling disrespect towards Krishna. It actually pleases him. Because Srimati Radharani is the single greatest devotee of Krishna. Jiva Goswami says in his commentaries, he says that Krishna does not need anyone else to be happy and satisfied, save and except for Srimati Radharani. So that should put all of us in our position. That should make us understand who and what we are. Right? We are insignificant servants of Krishna. We're not even practically we're not even necessary for Krishna's pleasure. Practically speaking, Srimati Radharani herself is so perfect in her ability to satisfy Krishna that Krishna doesn't even need anyone else. Right? So then one can say, so why do we exist? Why were we created? Why are we even there? Right? Because Srimati Radharani desires that she wants other people to also enjoy the sweetness which she is tasting from Krishna. So therefore we are all expanded like that. All of the Tatastha Shakti, all of the other gopis which expand from Radharani, from her Kladini Shakti, like Lalita, Vishaka, Tungavidya, Champakalata, all the different gopis who come, they are all expansions of Srimati Radharani herself. And they are all there because Srimati Radharani wants others to taste the sweetness of serving Krishna. So therefore everyone expands, all the jivas expand, everyone is there to serve Krishna. And that is our purpose. But factually speaking, it is only Srimati Radharani who can fully satisfy Krishna. And even it is described, just like in the previous chapters, we're reading about the rasa dance. Right? So when Krishna is dancing in the rasa dance, right? How many gopis were there when we read the commentary a few months ago?
4 billion.
No, 3 billion. 3 billion. Right? There are 3 billion gopis. Right? And Krishna, in order to satisfy every single gopi who was there, then he stood in between each of the 3 billion gopis. So there's 3 billion gopis and 3 billion Krishnas. And actually, the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says there was only one Krishna, but he was moving so quickly through the 3 billion, it appeared that he was standing next to each one of them. That's powerful. Right? That's like in Vrindavan, we say, you know, Vrindavan is Madhurya, right? It is where the Madhurya pastimes are performed. But actually, the Aishwarya or the opulence or the potency of God is displayed in Vrindavan even more than in Vaikuntha and in other places, right? Because to do that pastime is the most powerful display of God's energy. I mean, 3 billion forms simultaneously, and all the gopis were dressed beautifully, right? Perfectly and beautifully. They all had so much paraphernalia, right? And it is described that while the Rasa dance was taking place, there were 6 billion people dancing, right? Can you imagine 6 billion people dancing at once in Vrindavan? And if you've been to Vrindavan, it's very dusty there. So 6 billion people dancing, right? There would just be like a unlimited dust cloud, right? But because of Krishna's, one of his potencies, his, I can't remember the name of the particular potency, it was part of his internal energy. His internal energy was moving in between all the gopis and Krishna, and she was collecting all the dust and putting them in piles underneath the trees all around so the dust wasn't disturbing the rasa dance. Right? This is powerful. You know, if you can dance with 6 billion people and there's no dust and everything's just... This is very powerful. Right? So this is Krishna's level of potency. So the whole rasa lila, it manifests or it takes place because of Krishna's desire to be with Radharani and Radharani's desire to be with Krishna. This inaugurates the entire rasa dance. But because Radharani does not want to simply enjoy Krishna by herself, then all the other gopis, Krishna expands and dances with all the other gopis also. Right? Because Radharani does not want them to feel, or she wants them to also enjoy with Krishna. So because of her desire that they enjoy with Krishna, then Krishna expands based on Radharani's desire to enjoy with all the gopis. It is only to please Radharani that Krishna does that. Right? So this is Radharani's exalted position. Krishna does not need anyone else, right, to enjoy. Radharani fully satisfies him. And all that we can hope to do is do a little service for Srimati Radharani, and then Krishna may recognize us. Prabhupada says that if we please Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani will turn to Krishna and she will say, "Here is a very sincere devotee. He is even more sincere than me. Please accept his service." Right? So that is the position of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We have to get Radharani's blessings and mercy before we can directly approach Krishna. And we have to get the mercy of Radharani's representatives, which means our spiritual master and the disciplic succession, before we can directly approach like that. So, Srimati Radharani is experiencing these apparently contradictive moods and emotions towards Krishna, but these moods and emotions are only heightening or enlivening or pleasing Krishna and increasing his pleasure. Right? So, sometimes Radharani, like it says here, one of the emotions she's feeling here is jealousy. Right? So jealousy is normally a negative emotion, like that. So when Radharani feels jealousy, in other words, when Krishna is with another gopi, like Chandravali, who is Radharani's main rival, Radharani is the leader of the left-wing gopis, and Chandravali is the leader of the right-wing gopis. The nature of the left-wing gopis, or the nature of the right-wing gopis, is that they are submissive to Krishna. That is Chandravali's camp, right? And the nature of the right-wing gopis is that they are unsubmissive to Krishna. Do I say left-wing? Left-wing. Nature of the left. Yeah, the nature of the left is that they are unsubmissive to Krishna. So the psychology or the mentality of the right-wing gopis is that we belong to Krishna. Krishna is our master. We belong to Krishna, like that. And the mentality of the left-wing gopis is that Krishna belongs to us. Right? He is ours, right? And we will control him. Right? And out of the two, Chandravali and Radharani, they're the most excellent gopis and they give Krishna the most pleasure. But out of the two, Srimati Radharani gives Krishna more pleasure. Because Krishna actually likes that Radharani is unsubmissive. he enjoys it. And it increases the rasa within the pastime. So here it is described that Radharani becomes jealous, all right? What is the Sanskrit word for the emotion when she becomes jealous towards Krishna?
Spurha.
Yeah, it's got different words here. But generally, the word we use, or which is used for Radharani's feeling like that, is man. Right? Man means it's like a jealous anger and pride. Right? So sometimes Radharani, she will not talk to Krishna. Right? Krishna will go and enjoy with another gopi, right? And Radharani is not jealous. This is how we have to understand the nature of love of Godhead. The nature of love of Godhead is that it is completely selfless, right? That is the nature of love of Godhead. It is no selfishness. What keeps us out of the spiritual world at this point in time is that we are selfish, right? Because we have some selfishness within our consciousness. That's why we can't go back to Godhead at this point in time. As soon as we give up all selfishness, we can go back into the spiritual world. We can enter back into the Loka Vrindavan. But as long as there's some selfishness there, we can't enter. So Radharani obviously has no selfishness. She's completely selfless in her love for Krishna. Yet we see that she becomes jealous if Krishna goes off with another gopi. So what is it? What's her motive? Why is she thinking, or why is she feeling jealous? You know, because she just wants Krishna to be happy. So if Krishna is happy going off with another gopi, why should Radharani be jealous? The reason she gets jealous is because in her mind she thinks, actually, I just want Krishna to be happy. Right? And the person who can give Krishna more happiness than anyone else is me. So Krishna should be with me. And because he's not with me, then, right, I'm jealous. I don't want anything to do with him. Right? So she goes off in her man. Right? She becomes just like, if you go to Varshana, and you'll see there's the four different hills of Lord Brahma on the Varshana peaks. And then there's the Man Kutia, which is kind of on the backside of Varshana at the top, like that, where Ram, what's the name of that? Ramesh Baba, where he lives up there, like that. And this is the Man Kutia. This is where Srimati Radharani goes if she's feeling very angry towards Krishna. So sometimes she goes up there, and then Krishna comes, he's been enjoying with other gopis, and then he comes and he wants to see Radharani, and Lalita and Vishaka and the other gopis, they're standing as guards, and Radharani is hiding in the kunj. And she wants nothing to do with Krishna. And Krishna sends messages and he says, please, you know, and they say, no, no, she doesn't want anything to do with you. Right? And then Krishna says, you know, this is breaking my heart. And he sends her gifts and everything, and she won't have anything to do with him. Right? And then even Krishna begins to cry. Right? And she won't have anything to do with him. So then one pastime that takes place there, and Krishna goes and he dresses up as a manjari, right? As a gopi. He dresses as a gopi. And he comes, and they look at him, and they haven't seen this gopi before. And when he comes, they say, what is your name? And he says, Nava Manjari, which means new gopi, new manjari. I'm a new manjari, like that. And they said, oh, we've never seen you before. What do you do? And he says, my father is a barber, so I'm very expert at, you know, braiding and plaiting hair and doing all this. They said, very good, come, you can serve Srimati Radharani. So she goes into the grove and goes in, begins to braid the hair and everything like that, and doing all the services for Radharani. And then Radharani, as soon as she feels the touch of this manjari, she feels, I know this person. This is not a manjari. I know who this is. But she doesn't break her anger. She, even still, I don't care. I'm not going to break my anger. So then, at the end, when the manjari has done so much service, then Radharani says to the Sakis, says to Lalita and Vishaka and the other Sakis, says, this manjari has rendered very wonderful service to me, very pleasing service. We should give her a reward. What should we give her? Like that. And then the Sakis, they look at Radharani, and Radharani says, we should give a new sari. new choli, new sari. So then Krishna says, oh, actually, I have to go now. My father is expecting me. Like that. So he begins to walk out, and all the gopis grab him. And they say, no, 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 it's okay. We're all girls here. We're all girls. Everything's okay. He said, no, 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 I have to go. My father, no, 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 everything's okay. Like that. So they pull the sari off, like that. And then they've got the choli, and Krishna's struggling, and then they undo the choli, and then two big mangoes fall out on the ground. And then when Radharani sees this, then finally she smiles. Right? And then her mound, her anger is broken like that. And then Krishna comes and Krishna begins to massage her feet. And then Radharani accepts Krishna back like that. So this all happens, right? Only why? Why does Radharani do all that? Why does Radharani put Krishna through all that? Chandravali wouldn't put Krishna through all that. Right? Chandravali, if Krishna came to her, Chandravali would be very submissive like that. But Radharani, she gives Krishna a hard time. Right? Why? Because it increases Krishna's pleasure. Because it increases the rasa. Right? And there's so much ecstasy which Krishna feels when Radharani finally breaks her man, or her anger, her jealousy. So this jealousy, this pride, this disrespect, all these things, they're experienced by Radharani and they are displayed by Radharani, but it is only to give Krishna pleasure. And this is the highest level of love of God. And it's very difficult to understand. It is not an easy thing to understand. And we're seeing this particular chapter, the Brahma Gita. Radharani becomes so mad in Mahabhav, so intoxicated, she's having a conversation with a bee. Right? Just in madness. Right? Like normally you'll only see crazy people, you know, someone sitting in the garden talking to a bee. Right? Having a whole conversation with a bee. I mean she's having a whole conversation with this bee. And she's angry with the bee, and she's saying, you know, who are you? You know? And she, if we read through the next few verses, she says, you're a drunkard. Right? This bee, you're just a drunkard. Right? Obviously you're drunk. You're obviously intoxicated. Because why would you be a servant of Krishna? Obviously you're obviously not in your right mind, otherwise you wouldn't even be his servant. Right? You wouldn't even come here to Vrindavan and try to give me pain in my heart and send these messages to me. You wouldn't even be doing all these things like this. So, all these things are being displayed. This is the most confidential part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is not easy to understand it. Right? One can only understand it if one has a purified heart. Right? So therefore, Narottama Das Thakur says that in order to enter into Vrindavan, then one needs to give up sense gratification. Right? Vishayacharya. Right? He says that if you're consciousness is contaminated with the desire to enjoy sense gratification separate from Krishna, you cannot enter into Vrindavan. Yeah? Because he says Shuddha Mind. He says your mind will not be Shuddha, will not be pure. Right? If the mind is impure, if the consciousness is impure, then you can't enter into Vrindavan. You can't enter into these pastimes. The qualification to enter into these pastimes, first of all, is one has to have pure consciousness. The mind must not be contaminated by desires for sense gratification. Then one can begin to understand something about these pastimes properly. So we read through these pastimes, this section of the Bhagavatam, but we have to do so with great respect and great humility and an understanding that we're not qualified to even hear or understand these pastimes in one sense. But in another sense, we very humbly and very respectfully try to understand them through the commentaries of the previous acharyas, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and so forth, and this will give us some qualification to eventually understand these pastimes. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
I missed why the purport was talking about Prajapati.
Yeah, because in Upadeshamrita, in the Nectar of Instruction, then Rupa Goswami in the second verse, I think it is, in the Nectar Devotion, of the Nectar of Instruction, then he says that there are six things which will hinder your devotional service, which will stop you from advancing in devotional service. So one of them is Prajalpa. And Prajalpa means
Mundane talks.
It means when one doesn't have control of the tongue. Right? When one cannot control his tongue, one will just speak nonsense. Just like, you know, sometimes we get on the tram to go into the city to do Harinam or something, and you just sit there and you listen to the people speaking on the tram, and they just speak nonsense. Like just garbage. You know, and the other day I was reading Bhagavatam or something on the tram when I was going into the city. And I really felt like turning around to these people and just saying, you know, can you please stop talking garbage? Because I'm really trying to concentrate on something here which is actually, you know, Of course, we can't say those things, but you know, this is prajalpa. Prajalpa means no control of the tongue, like that. So Rupa Goswami says, if you don't control the tongue, if you don't control your speech, if you just speak mundane topics, then you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. But this particular quote, where the word prajalpa is used, is from Ujjwala Nilamani. So Ujjwala Nilamani is another book by Rupa Goswami. He wrote Nectar of Instruction, and then there's Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then after Nectar of Devotion, there's Ujjwala Nilamani. And in the Ujjwala Nilamani, it describes the conjugal ras. Because in the Nectar of Devotion, the first quarter, or the first eastern side of the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describes sadhana bhakti, and then bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. And then when you study the other three parts of the Nectar of Devotion, the final three quarters, or the final section of the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it describes all the different relationships with Krishna, the rasas, the conjugal ras, and then the vatsalya ras and the sakya ras, like that. And then after that, then Rupa Goswami writes Ujjwala Nilamani, and he just speaks about the conjugal ras. And he analyses the conjugal ras very, very deeply. The whole book is just analyzing the conjugal ras. So this quote comes from that book. And he's mentioning here prajalpa. But prajalpa there means, or the definition which is given here, is speech that denigrates the tactlessness of one's lover with expressions of disrespect. So this is spiritual prajalpa. In Nectar of Instruction, he says that is material. Give up material prajalpa. But then when you go to the spiritual world, there's spiritual prajalpa, where Radharani even says things disrespectfully about Krishna. You know, she's just speaking. She's just saying all sorts of things about Krishna. You know, he is supposed to be such a good person, but why did he go to Mathura? Right? And now he's in Mathura. He's enjoying with so many other women. And because he's a debauchee, because he can't control himself, then he will have relationships with everyone's wives in Mathura. And then he will get a very, very bad reputation like that. She's just speaking all these things, just disrespecting Krishna. But actually, all the Krishna is thinking about all the time in Dwarka, in Mathura, and in Vrindavan is Srimati Radharani. That's all he's thinking about. But she's just saying these things because she's feeling so much separation like that. Any other questions or comments?
One comment, as you said in the story, Krishna told that Manihari. Manihari means the one who sells the bangles. You know the bangles? So Krishna goes in the form of a Manihari, takes different types of bangles to give to Radharani. So he's going in the market, there's lots of bangles on the shoulder and neck and everywhere. Anybody wants bangles, anybody wants bangles. So Dalita sees and Radharani calls, alright, call this man who's selling this. And then he goes. And then Radharani chooses which bangle, what color bangle you want. So she says, I want sham color. She loves sham, so much sham color. So when Lord is putting the bangle in the hands of Radharani, then he presses the hand, the wrist, and then Radharani will go, it's Krishna, it's not even Manihari. So like there are so many pastimes between the love and ecstasy of Radharani. Mm-hmm. If you go to Vrindavan, there are so many stories, one after the other, how Krishna is increasing love of Radharani. And everybody is enjoying it, laughing and juggling and joking.
Good question.
Yes, Shri Prabhu. When you mentioned that Shri Radharani, it's her desire, she wants others to be happy as well. That's why we exist. And that's to be understood the same way as, like when Prabhupada said that we all eternally exist. Eternally, so never was there a time when we didn't exist. It's to be understood the same way that in the spiritual dimension, there's no time that has a beginning and end like here. So to be understood the same way that desire is eternal, and therefore we're still eternal. Even though Krishna is the first part of us. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
We're still eternal, it's an eternal thing. It's not to be understood as in one day she woke up and thought, oh, I think all created beings was like that.
Yeah, it's Krishna's achincha shakti.
Yeah.
Achincha means things which are inconceivable. Right? Because according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Ete cham sakala pumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So there are many incarnations of God. But Krishna's tu Bhagavan means he is the origin or the original personality of God. He is the Parameshwara, which means he is the original personality of Godhead. So it doesn't mean that because Balaram is the first expansion, it doesn't mean that Balaram never existed. Somehow Krishna is the origin, yet Balaram has always existed. So that's a chincha, that's inconceivable. How does Krishna do that? How can he be the origin of something, the creator of something, and yet it's been existing as long as you have? Yet it comes from you. Yet, you know, that's inconceivable. So when you get to this kind of things, then you just start chanting japa. There's not much else you can do. You get to a point in our philosophy where, Tamal Krishnamurti said, you get to a point where you just fold your hands and just say Hare Krishna. That's it. You're dealing with God. You know? And the fact that they're just like there's that philosopher, and he said, can God create a mountain which he cannot lift? You know, if he can't create a mountain which he cannot lift, then he's not God. And if he can't lift it, then he's not God, right? So then they asked Prabhupada, they told him that argument. And Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna can create a mountain which he cannot lift, and then he'll lift it. Because that's Krishna. You know, everything which is inconceivable, he'll reconcile it. Because that's what it means to be God. It means, you know, he's God. That's it. So he just... Okay, that's it.
You mentioned that Krishna is self-satisfied. That's not actually what he means in the world, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just...
Then I thought, you know, I've always wondered about his relationship to Krishna.
Who? Balaram.
Yeah. The importance of that relationship to Krishna.
In what respect?
Well, in
the past,
they
meet. They love each other very much. Yeah, like that.
Yeah. What was the first thing you said before?
Yeah, and then you said about Krishna. I think there's a point you made before, but I just slipped down a moment. So with Balaram, Balaram is Krishna's older brother, like that. So in terms of, just like in a family, then, you know, you have your mother and father who you love, right? And you don't really make comparisons in one sense. Like, I was saying in a traditional family, in Kali Yuga everything is very strange, so it's hard to even find families that work. But if you're talking in a natural, normal, like Vedic kind of condition, you love the mother and father just unconditionally, right? And your brothers and sisters, you just love them unconditionally, and your wife, you just love unconditionally, right? So in relationship with Krishna, it's just Krishna's a cowherd boy, right? His family is from Vrindavan. They live in underground. His father and mother are Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and he just feels unconditional love for them in a parental ras. Right? They're his protectors, so that's how he feels. And then with Balaram, Balaram's his brother, and he loves Balaram like unlimitedly. Like to the perfection of how much you can love a brotherly figure, he loves Balaram, he has unlimited affection for Balaram. But then in terms of the conjugal ras, which surpasses the other rasas in terms of its fullness or its completeness. Just like the example is given, you'll have different vessels of water, right? So you have a small glass of water, but that glass is full, right? So that glass is full is like the sakya rasa, or the relationship between Krishna and his friends. So it is full, it's complete. They have, as far as friendship is concerned, they have full love for each other. Completely, right, in that mood. And then it says that in the Vatsalya Ras, or the parental Ras, there is more love contained within it. So it's bigger than the Sakya Ras. It has more love within it. and that's full in that rasa. And then when you get to the conjugal rasa, it is said the conjugal rasa is the most complete or the most satisfied. So Radharani, Krishna's loves Radharani even more. But Prabhupada says that, you know, it's not that we make comparisons. We say that, oh, Mother Yashoda is less, or no, Mother Yashoda is Krishna's mother, Nanda is his father, Balaram is his brother, right? And we love, and then even if we were in an advanced state of Krishna consciousness, cultivating attraction to serving Radha and Krishna in their pastimes, like as a gopi or manjari or something like that. But then you would love Balaram because Balaram is Krishna's brother. Radharani loves Balaram because it's Krishna's brother. Right? And Balaram loves Radharani because it's Krishna's lover. Just like on Govardhan Hill sometimes, when Radharani is walking on Govardhan Hill, she might see crystal-coloured stones or shilas, like whitish crystal-coloured shilas on Govardhan Hill. So then Radharani doesn't walk that way because she knows Balaram has gone that way. And if Balaram's walking on Govardhan Hill and he sees golden shilas or golden stones, then he understands, oh, Radharani's walked that way, so he begins to walk a different way. Like that. So Lord Balaram has his own group of gopis. He has his own gopis, completely separate from Krishna. So he never has contact with Krishna's gopis, and Krishna never has contact with his gopis. He has his own separate group of gopis, and Krishna has their gopis. And even in some of the pastimes, like in a few of the chapters back, there was that pastime with Shankachuda. Remember that demon who came and stole all the gopis? They were having Rasa Leela. Remember, it was about 10 chapters ago or something, Shankachuda. So that demon, Shankachuda, he came into Vrindavan and he saw that Krishna and Balaram were dancing with the gopis. So then he stole all the gopis and started taking them away. And then Krishna chased after him and killed him. So it's described in that particular Rasa dance, Krishna and Balaram were dancing together. And all their gopis merged together. And Krishna was dancing with his gopis and Balaram was dancing with his gopis. And Krishna and Balaram were both singing, like together, like that, and everyone was just in ecstasy like that. But there's no crossover of the rasas, the management. Does that answer your question? Was that what you asked?
Yeah, I was just comparing, because they're so intensely close.
Yeah. So you can see it like that. You can see within, like sakya ras, within like friendship, like Balaram is one of the most exalted persons within that mood with Krishna. But then there's conjugal ras, which the acharyas teach us even more, even fulfills Krishna more than the other rasas. It gives Krishna a greater sense of satisfaction even than the other rasas. Like that. But Balaram, in terms of his ras with Krishna, he gives Krishna unlimited satisfaction. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.